ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're starting a new chapter. Chapter 27. Canto 10. Chapter 27, text number 1. She wants to give you something. What was chapter 26 that we just finished? Wonderful Krishna. Has he already put it down? 26 is, wow. Wonderful Krishna. Who is this boy and all that? And Nanda speaking what he heard from Gargamuni. Lots of, those are very important verses. And so there was lots of commentary, very interesting descriptions. And then everyone's satisfied, they all go back and experience great happiness in their relationship with Krishna. And there's a festival. There's so many festivals. On any occasion, they have a festival. So they had a festival to give gifts to Nanda and to Krishna. Chapter 27 begins with Shukadev Goswami speaking, and the topic, well, we hear a summary of the topic. It's Indra coming to seek forgiveness for his offense. So Shukadev Goswami said, after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill and thus protected the inhabitants of Braja from the terrible rainfall, Surabhi, the mother of the cows, came from her planet to see Krishna. She was accompanied by Indra, not the other way around. Purport. The word Golokat indicates the material planet. The material planet called Goloka, which is filled with exceptional cows. Surabhi went joyfully to see Krishna, but Indra went fearfully. As indicated by this verse, Lord Krishna had to adopt extraordinary measures to protect his Vrindavan associate from Indra's obnoxious and offensive attack. Certainly Indra was ashamed and also nervous about his future. Having acted improperly, he had fearfully gone to seek the shelter of Lord Rama, who then ordered him to take along Surabhi from the material Goloka planet to go see Krishna. So interesting commentary here. Chapter 27 describes the prayers of Indra recited out of fear, Krishna's mercy on him, and his abhishek by Surabhi, on account of which Krishna is called Govinda. Seeing that Vraja had been protected from the rain, Indra, out of fear, approached Krishna. Surabhi came on the order of Brahma to bathe Krishna and help Indra. Surabhi says in verse 11, that's the same chapter 27, verse 11, I have been sent by Brahma. Goloka refers in this verse to a place in Svargaloka, not the spiritual world. Krishna's Sarabhi from the spiritual world could not be with Indra in Svargaloka. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Govardhan means, quote, increasing the cows. With the help of the mountain, the cows did not fall into suffering because of the great rain, but rather flourished because of the abundant grass. Braja refers to the people, animals, and birds there as well. Surabhi came from her planet, which is not the spiritual planet, which is a manifestation of Gokula. Indra could not associate with the spiritual Surabhi from the spiritual world. The spiritual Goloka will be shown at the end of the 28th chapter. That's next chapter. Indra came with Surabhi because he knew that Krishna liked cows. She came first. Indra went to her planet to bring her, and then came the Braja. It is mentioned in verse 21. Although earlier it says verse 11. They were sent by Brahma. Indra was sent by Brahma. Brahma came with him to Surabhi. Brahma and Indra went to visit Surabhi at her place. Then, with Surabhi, Indra came to Vraja on the order of Brahma. Paragraph. It was not possible for him to go with her because of his great offense, but still he came since there was no other means of getting relief. They came because Krishna was Swayam Bhagavan. Thus they came to surrender to him. For Surabhi, Krishna meant, quote, he who attracts, because he shows affection for Surabhi's offspring, the cows, unquote. Indra came along without his carrier or associates, fearing a great conflict. The sages and wives of the devatas stayed far away. The details are given by the disciple of Vyas, sage Sri Vaishampayana in Harivamsa. You ready for the details? Indra saw Krishna, who takes away all suffering, seated at the base of Govardhan. Seeing the indescribable boy with shining effulgence wearing cowherd clothing, Indra developed love for him. He repeatedly gazed at Krishna, dark like water-laden clouds, marked with a Srivatsa. It should be understood that previously Indra was not able to see Krishna alone, since Indra never went there. And then here's another interesting detail from Harivamsa. Garuda, best of birds, who was invisible, gave shade to Krishna with his wings as Krishna sat. And Parashara Muni, this is now Vishnu Purana, he saw Garuda, who was invisible in the sky, giving shade to Krishna's head with his two wings. No explanation. We did hear from the previous chapter, we discussed this. When did we discuss this? Yesterday evening? About Vishnu Purana speaks of a pastime of after the lifting of Govardhan Hill, not just the cowherd men went to Nanda Maharaj to find out who is this boy, they also went to Krishna, who are you? And then the commentary says that's another kalpa or day of Brahma. So this is from that section also. It's different than what's in the Bhagavatam, which is just fine. It's another authoritative source, which Jiva Goswami is accepting. And it's just describing another kalpa or day of Brahma. Sanatana Goswami, he writes in his commentary, Govardhan means, same as previous, increasing the cows, quote unquote. With the help of the mountain, the cows did not fall into suffering because of the great rain, but rather flourished because of the abundant grass. I think we read this, or maybe it's just similar. Vraja refers to people, animals, and birds there as well. Goloka is a planet above Vaikuntha. It is the planet of cows. This is described by Indra in Harivamsa, same reference, but another section. Above the heavenly planet is Brahmaloka. Vaikuntha, worshipped by the Vedas, the sages, and Garuda and others, it is the goal of Shiva, of the liberated souls and the devotees. Above this is the planet of cows, protected by the perfected devotees. Oh, Krishna, it is all-pervading, great, attained after realization of the Lord. And here's a similar passage from Mahabharata. I move about in many forms on earth in Vaikuntha and in the eternal Goloka, O Kaunteya. Krishna speaking from Mahabharata. Then he references, this is Sanatana Goswami, he references one of our favorite verses from Brahma Samhita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabihi Goloka Eva Nivasatyaki Latma Bhuto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who, though regarding all the inhabitants as his very self, resides in Goloka, exclusively with the young gopis, who are embodiments of Madhurya Rasa. He accepts them as his wives, while they respond to his conjugal affection reciprocally. Different translation. Vaikuntha Loka, Brahma Loka, etc., are explained in Bhagavatamrita. This is Sanatana Goswami's writing. Surabhi and Indra came. Surabhi is the prototype cow. What's a prototype cow? What's a prototype? You're not sure? It's when people make patent, they make a filing at a patent office. So here's the model from which all others are going to be like this one. That's a prototype. If you ever want to get a patent on something you create, and that's what you do. You make a prototype and give it to the patent office and they say yes or no. So that's the common use of the word prototype. So that from which others are semblances of, they resemble the prototype. Bhakti Siddhanta uses that term with Saraswati, who Brahma received Gayatri, the first of his Gayatri mantras from. And Saraswati, his wife, doesn't even exist yet. There's nothing. So he says it's the prototype, Saraswati, spiritual. From the spiritual Saraswati, he received his first Gayatri. So, Surabhi being referred to here, it's a detail, but it's interesting. Surabhi is the prototype cow among the chief cows situated in Goloka. Indra saw her coming from Goloka to Govardhan in joy because Krishna had protected the cows of her lineage. Indra showed her affection, pleased her with devotion, and with her he came from Swarga to Krishna. The wife of Kashyapa, Indra's stepmother Surabhi, Indra's mother is Aditi. And Aditi was one of the wives of Kashyapa. So what's being said here by Sanatana Goswami is Surabhi was also one of the wives of Kashyapa, or sister of Aditi. That's what he's saying. Don't ask me. The wife of Kashyapa, comma, Indra's stepmother Surabhi, comma, lives in Swarga. She is a different Surabhi since she does not live in Goloka. You know, the spiritual Goloka. Indra should not have come since he was in fear and shame because of his great offense. But even he came to take shelter of Krishna because Krishna is directly Bhagavan. He came to surrender because Krishna was the highest manifestation of unlimited qualities like affection for the surrendered. He came to Krishna because Krishna is only controlled by his devotees. He came because of association with such devotees, namely Surabhi. For Surabhi, Krishna was the attractor of everyone, the giver of highest bliss through his form and qualities. Indra came alone. Indra came alone, giving up his carrier and followers out of fear and humility. And one final commentary is Vishwanath comments, this chapter describes the prayers of Indra recited out of fear, Krishna's mercy on him, and how the Surabhi cow and Indra performed a bathing ceremony for Krishna, on account of which the Lord is called Govinda. So it's very similar to his other commentary. Seeing that Braja had been protected from the rain, Indra, nervous and ashamed, fearfully approached Krishna. The Surabhi cow came on the order of Brahma to help Indra and to bathe Krishna. The word Golokat here indicates the material planet called Goloka, which is filled with exceptional cows. Krishna's transcendental Surabhi cows from Braja, Gokula, could not be with Indra in this material world. And here's Jiva Goswami speaking, a writing from Kramasandarbha. Kramasandarbha is one of the three commentaries of Jiva Goswami on the Bhagavatam. It's verse by verse for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's, you know, very simple. And this is the final one. Surabhi came from her planet, which is not the spiritual planet, which is a special manifestation of Gokula. Indra could not associate with the spiritual Surabhi from the spiritual world that is mentioned in verse 21. They were sent by Brahma. Indra was sent by Brahma. Brahma came with him to Surabhi. Then with Surabhi he came to Braja on the order of Brahma. So just getting facts straight. There's a Brijbasi story, and assuming we, we're able to go to India in October. Hope so. Dinabandhu, I saw him in Vrindavan in February, and he's already, identified which days and which places and so forth. And he volunteered, when you do Govardhan Parikrama, I can come and join you at Govindakund. Because he has his favorite stories that he tells. So one of the stories, as far as I can recall, is Brahma went to Brihaspati. And Brihaspati scolded him. You did it again, Indra. And then Brihaspati said, if you go alone, who knows? He may just ignore you because of your big offense. But if you go with one of his devotees, then he'll be happy to see that nice devotee, and then it'll make it easier for you to do what you want to do, to make your apology. It was diplomacy. And so he suggested Surabhi. We know Krishna likes cows, and then so Surabhi came. So that was Brihaspati said, and we're hearing our other acharya's comment. Brahma said, he went to Brahma. When Indra has a problem, it's common that he goes to Brahma. So Brahma said, and I'll go with you to Surabhi and request her, and she came with Indra. That's a detail. This going back to earlier chapter before the Govardhan, as the Govardhan Leela is beginning, Krishna was already considering, Indra has pride and I don't like it. So the whole, this is a culmination of removing Indra's pride. So removing Indra's pride isn't sufficient, that it's just, he realizes he's not so important. And that helps somebody get over pride, is understanding they're not so important. But he's made a big offense in the course of learning his lesson that he's not so important. So he needs to make his proper apology. And have that request for forgiveness accepted by Krishna. So that's what's happening here. As in chapter 14, it's the chief personality in the whole universe honoring Krishna. And here it's the King of Heaven honoring Krishna. The Abhishek and all of that, we'll hear the details. Airavata and just Ganges water and everything. It's honoring Krishna. And who are we? Insignificant little people. So are we going to, what do we understand from these? Specifically in terms of great personalities honoring Krishna, I need to honor Krishna too. Worship Krishna. And beware of pride. Whatever pride is a big obstacle to take shelter of Krishna. Pride is a big obstacle to be a good person. Because it obstructs goodness. It certainly obstructs bhakti. So the section is important. The honoring of Krishna, the bathing with the Ganges water, and bathing with Surabhi's own milk. Bathing. Abhishek. we have our procedures with deity worship, and Abhishek is part of those procedures with deity worship. And in some, many altars, many temples, there's Abhishek daily, and that's what Charanamrita is, that's offered to the public as the bathing water and whatever are the other ingredients in that bathing of the deity. So that's where that bathing comes from. It comes from bathing Krishna. Although here it's a pastime, not just deity worship. In one sense, it's Krishna's being very, very, very kind to Indra by allowing Indra to do his Abhishek after this big offense. Gosh, Krishna is very kind. But it's purifying for Indra, and it's purifying for us when we perform Abhishek of the form of the Lord in his deity form. It cleanses us, although it's, you know, we're bathing Krishna, cleansing Krishna. It's bathing the person who's bathing Krishna, spiritually bathing. That's the significance, certainly in deity worship and also what's happening here. Let's see if there's some discussion. That cat pillow looks very real. Big cat. Wow.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This incident of Indra accompanying Surabhi to please the Lord also reminds me of in Ramayana when Lakshman is angry and going to see Sugriva.
Mm.
Hanuman says to Sugriva that, you know, first send Tara so that Lakshman's anger subsides by seeing her.
Yes.
So I can see this as a principle that happens in multiple situations when somebody commits an offense and accompany a person or
good
accompany
nice
someone.
Point.
So my question is, on the other side, flip side, Krishna knows that, okay, you are trying to now, you know, bring someone and try to please me in this way.
Yeah.
So isn't it like the other side is my anger doubles or, you know, Krishna's?
Well, that might be one of us, but that's not what Krishna does. Just sees Surabhi and he's happy. Anger subsides. Doesn't say he was angry, but, you know, his feeling get locked into being with Surabhi. So
in case a devotee commits an offense, is it good to approach that way?
I wouldn't want to say yes.
This is from Shatrupa Mataji. To seek forgiveness or reconcile in a relationship where one has committed offenses, to do this without fear or from other negative space, one needs self-acceptance with humility, take responsibility for one's actions. That's point one. Point two is appreciate and accept that to reconcile or not is according to the other person's terms. And three, continue to repent and praying to Guru and Krishna to help my purification. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah. And there may be additional points, but all of what she said is fine.
And Maharaj, can you please elaborate on how to seek reconciliation or forgiveness with Krishna in the center?
Well, how to do anything with Krishna at the center. I mean, that's just one part of anything. You know, it's a short answer is follow the process of bhakti. That puts Krishna in the center. Now, how to put Krishna in the center? Follow the process of bhakti. And then reconciliation is you're following the process of bhakti. Whatever it is that you do it for Krishna. So how do you do that? By following the process of bhakti.
This question from Sri Jiva. Will this material Goloka where Surabhi lives be where Surabhi lives be depicted in the temple of Vedic planetarium?
No. Because it's not mentioned in fifth canto. Fifth canto, Vedic planetarium, planetarium or planetarium? Yeah. Vedic planetarium is fifth canto. It's not mentioned in fifth canto. We won't see it. We'll know it's there though.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is online questions. Swati Patel has a question. Seeking the sufferings in my own life and sufferings all around, I feel my desire to get out of material life is much more than serving the Lord. Would chanting and hearing will purify these desires?
Would chanting and hearing do what?
Purify the desire.
I hope so. Especially since you want it.
Or when such desires pop up in my mind, I should my intelligence to remind myself of the real goal of chanting to try to curb such desires?
Yes, you got it.
Okay.
It's helpful to have some intelligence. And that's the proper use of intelligence. How to get to Krishna intelligence. Good.
Another question is by Carlos. Hare Krishna Maharaj, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his book Amrit Vani in the 108 Essential Advice said, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam.
He's just making a comment.
Oh, okay. Question from Girish. Isn't it natural for one to directly go and ask forgiveness instead of charting out a plan with diplomacy to ask for forgiveness?
Well, he made a big boo-boo. It wasn't just a small one. He was trying to kill the Vrijvasis and the cows. So, it's not a normal situation.
Okay. Another question from Neeraj Bhatnagar. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how does pride blocks bhakti? How to overcome pride?
How does pride block bhakti? It's kind of obvious, but it's a very strong... material force. There's this saying, pride goeth before the fall. Common saying. Don't know its source, but pride goeth. So, I think I have an inflated conception of myself. And so in that prideful condition, who needs to surrender? Who needs anything from anybody? I'm proud, falsely. So that inhibits taking shelter of Krishna lovingly and serving Him.
That's it.
Guru Maharaj, the question is regarding pride. In this example of Indra, Krishna completely vanquished his pride. So he became humble. Given that I am in the material world, there must be some pride in me. I can take it from everyone. So, how do I understand that there is, you know, a level of pride in me that I can, is there an indication that Krishna gives sometimes, or how can I understand that I have it?
I mean, you can understand because you're in the material world, you have it.
Or how do you understand that I am exercising it?
Oh, forgetting Krishna. I mean, it's not so, when things are me-centered rather than Krishna-centered, we're acting on pride. That pride is an inflated sense of self on the material side, and that obscures who we really are and our relationship with Krishna both.
Shridhar Srinivas, Sri Krishna Guru Maharaj, can you please explain about the Shri Vatsa seen on the Lord? Shri Vatsa.
Shri is the goddess of fortune, and she's on his chest.
Question from Gopinath. How come there are two Golokas?
You want it different? You want to have only one? Take it up with Krishna. It's not commonly heard. I've never come across this ever before. And what's the foundation for our acharyas writing consistently, you know, several of them, the way that they did? I don't know. That's just they're stating what they stated, and I never heard of a heavenly Goloka before. I always just assumed it was Surabhi from the Goloka. I just assumed that. So, I don't have any information other than what we just read.
This is a question from me, Guru Maharaj. I hope I'm able to ask properly. Guru Maharaj, like, we have our swarupa, like our constitutional position, like I am the servant of Shri Krishna, right? So is my position constant in the spiritual world, like example, when the day when will come when I have to go back, right? So is that position constant or it is
dynamic?
Changing?
It's not constant.
It's not constant.
Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked this specific question of Srila Prabhupada. Now, a detail is, Sarup doesn't just mean I'm a servant of Krishna. It means a particular rupa. Sva Rupa, one's spiritual form. So the spiritual form has whatever that form is, not just servant of Krishna, that's generic. You have Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted to know, is it possible that someone, after having achieved the spiritual world, becomes a gopi, if they're not how they start off, or something like, you know, it wasn't those were his words, but that was the nature of the question. And Prabhupada's answer was that everything in the spiritual world is dynamic, not static. Mm-hmm. No explanation, that was just what he said.
Okay. So basically,
so the answer is yes.
Yes.
And the interest at that point is, gee, I'm not really satisfied over here. I want to go over there. It's not like that. Not like that. you know, Krishna does what Krishna wants, and that's what happens when Krishna wants. So that's how it happens. Krishna just does what Krishna does.
Okay. And Guru Maharaj, like additional to this one was, so right now I'm chanting the holy name. So Naam Rupa Guna Lila. So I'm just focusing on Naam. Rupa will automatically like...
Rupa means Krishna's Rupa.
Yeah.
Not yours.
Yeah, yeah, Guru Maharaj, like Krishna's Rupa, right? So rather than me assuming some form of Krishna right now and meditating, or is it good for me to just focus on the sound vibration and
well,
then Krishna
sound,
will...
the sound also has form. And you'll realize the form of the sound through paying attention to the sound. It's not within the sound. There's this like secret password, and you go through a door, and then over there is the. But the sound is with form.
Yeah, yeah, Guru Maharaj. Like a lot of devotees have inclination to like Ram and then Krishna's different form. So right now I'm maybe not aware of which form really attracts me.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Become absorbed in the sound.
Okay.
Spiritual life is full of surprises. Oh, that's what I'm attracted to.
Guru Maharaj, there's an online question. There's an online question, Guru Maharaj. Saurabh Sharma. Not Abuji, actually. Question is from yesterday's evening class. Do Vrindavan and Vrajavasis still exist in the pastime where Krishna don't go to Vrindavan?
Yeah. They're eternally existing. They're not like going out of existence. Manifest, not manifest, but eternally existing. Krishna is eternally existing. The residents of Vrindavan are eternally existing. They're eternal associates.
And Guru Maharaj, another question was, does Mother Yashoda ever know Krishna is not his son?
Does who know?
Mother Yashoda know Krishna is not his son?
Yo, Krishna is her son. Not in the material sense of, you know, father and son. In the eternal spiritual sense, Krishna is her son. Why not?
I think the question is more of whether she knows that it is. Krishna is not my son, but there is.
Oh, is that the question?
The question was, does Mother Yashoda ever know Krishna is not his son?
So, well,
I don't know.
It's in the BBT translation, and our acharyas write about it regularly. Somebody had never heard it, so I did some research and gave this reference, that reference, the other reference. And that is, when Mother Yashoda gave birth, she gave birth to twins. First was the male child, second was the female child. When Vasudev came, he placed the female child by the side of Mother Yashoda and took the male child. Excuse me. The Vasudev Krishna entered into the form of Braja Krishna and he took the female child. Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda. Should I say it again?
Yes.
Mother Yashoda, when she gave birth to two children. Now, this is from our acharyas. And one was Braja Krishna, eternally. It's like, it's a pastime of birth. And one was a female child. Then that female child was Yogamaya, because that's what Krishna had said. So then when Vasudev came, it was Vasudev Krishna entered into the body of Braja Krishna, and he took the female child. That's what our acharyas speak. And it's like, they're like two golokas. Whoever heard two golokas? I didn't till this morning. This is our acharyas. You know, it's not there in the Krishna book, because, you know, people that read Krishna book, what are they going to understand? This is too much. Let me close this book and read something else. So, but this is what our acharyas are saying. Okay?
I thought there is only unspiritual planet in material world. How come there are spiritual things in material world?
Why not? And it's not a spiritual planet in the material world. It's a heavenly planet, Swargaloka planet. And one of them is where Surabhi hangs out. Come on, give me a break. Repeatedly it was said, Indra could not have gone to Krishnaloka, or they were using the Goloka. He didn't have the credential. He didn't have the qualification, the eligibility. So he couldn't have gone there. So where'd Surabhi come from? Their explanation is, there's a Surabhi in this heavenly realm, not another spiritual planet in the heavenly realm. It's a Surabhi planet in the heavenly realm. And what we're hearing, I never understood this before this morning. She was one of the wives of Kashyapa. Now I'm inclined to go back and look at who did Kashyapa marry, because there's names. Maybe we'll find Surabhi's name there. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will try to put it, but I am not sure whether it is, I am putting it rightly or not. It is about mechanical chanting and chanting by heart. So recently I have been thinking that for me it's only the one, on whatever level I am right now, I can chant that way, whether it is mechanical or by heart. There is no distinction for me. It's chanting. Simply calling out the name. So I can't distinguish it's mechanical or not mechanical, or it's by heart.
Okay. You're making a statement. You're not asking a question.
Yeah, so is it important to distinguish?
Just keep chanting.
Yeah, that's
what. Just keep chanting. Knowing with faith, you're chanting because of faith, you're chanting with faith, and cleansing will go on, and you'll understand things tomorrow that you don't understand today about everything, including chanting. Yeah.
Maharaj, how, in Indra's case, Krishna checked his pride, and then he came out for forgiveness, and then came connected with Krishna again. So in devotees' life also, we see that they fall down due to pride. How they are coming up again to connect with Krishna? How Krishna helps them?
Well, nice question. How is, through his potencies? That is to say, if someone does something out of pride, then they're responsible for that something that's done out of pride, and the result is falling. Something that the Bhagavatam says, and Prabhupada has commented on, one may try to forget, having once been a devotee and connected to Krishna, one may try to forget Krishna, but you can't. I mean, somewhere in there is... Yeah, it's remembrance of the joy, the happiness, that sense of shelter and connection with Krishna. So Krishna knows that and the devotee knows that, but they're covered due to having fallen down to whatever the reasons, pride, etc. So after some material sojourn, having paid the price for their looking away or offense or whatever, then they just naturally rise up. The covering is diminished by natural law. Karma is depleted just by undergoing it. You're always generating something, at least in the human form of life, but in a lower species, you're not generating more karma, so you come to the position where it's not you're karma free, but the reactions to past misdeeds have been reduced, and now there's more light. And I'm making more conscious choices rather than acting like a donkey, just moved by modes and karma. Natural method. Karma gets burned. Well, Krishna will give at least an opportunity to resume. And then quickly one resumes. But one can say, no, I like suffering. I like being loitering in the world and finding happiness that way. And that's an option. Okay. See the Prabhupada key? Jai.